Let's just take it from the top. So give me the metal, feel the beat of the rhythm of the night. Tonight, tonight, working on a nightmare.
You are listening to Night Vision.
Hello and welcome to Night Vision, a multi-platform audio magazine presented by the Indiana State Council of the Knights of Columbus, designed to enrich, enlighten, educate, and entertain. Night Vision will return right after this. Our faith, our families, and our nation are under attack. Abortion, genocide, and poverty are plaguing our society. It is time again for us to stand together and oppose the forces who would seek to tear down the values which define us as Catholics. If you're a Knight of Columbus who has stepped away from your calling, know that we still rely on you to rejoin your brother knights and fulfill your duties as the right arm of the church. Remember why you became a Knight of Columbus and return to being the man the Lord has called you to be. Your family needs you, your community needs you, and your council needs you, now more than ever.
Do you have a question or a possible guest or feature idea? Have a comment or opinion on a feature you heard? Need more information on the Knights of Columbus and what we do? If so, Night Vision wants to hear from you. Drop us a line at radio@indianakfc.org. radio@indianakfc.org. Share a comment and let us know what you think. Night Vision wants to help you and your family put your faith in action. radio@indianakfc.org.
Hey, welcome back, gang. You're listening to another edition of Night Vision, season number 4. Can you believe it? It seems so much longer. We are getting to that time of year, though. July, parades, picnics, fireworks, marching bands, flyovers, you name it. And it's all to celebrate our independence and our freedom from tyranny. We celebrate patriotism. Patriotism, also the fourth pillar of our order in the Knights of Columbus. And on today's edition of Night Vision, going to take a closer look at service and healing, both physical and spiritual. Plus, Indiana native Red Skelton. Some of you may remember him. For others, it may be your first exposure to him. From Vincennes, Indiana. He's going to share some patriotic words of pride. But let's start our show with a conversation. I've been looking forward to this for quite some time. Joining me now is Sir Knight Michael Thumb. It's great to talk with you, Michael, and I want to thank you. I know you're busy. I appreciate you taking the time out. So let's get started here real quickly. I could give some long-winded introduction and probably get it wrong. So why don't you just give us a little background of your involvement in the order and everything else that's going on.
All right. Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here with you, especially to talk about these topics. I started with a career in the Marine Corps for about 28 years. Then I had a follow-on where I was in government service at the Tomahawk Missile Program. Then I finally retired the end of 2015. But in August 2001, we had a priest at the chapel on the base here at NAS Patuxent River that really wanted to stand up a Knights of Columbus Council. And he was after me and a lot of others, you know, to either join or join that council. So I joined the Knights at that point, August 2001. Quickly, I think I was the third Grand Knight of that council I was a charter member of, and then, went through other positions there. I was a district deputy, a district warden, then a district deputy. And then I actually decided to try to run for state warden a couple of times and didn't get a lot of traction there. And I said, boy, you know, I said to one of our former masters here I'm really in the Archdiocese of Washington District for the fourth degree. I said, you know, I'm a pretty patriotic person. And he said, you think? So that's all I needed, you know, and I started to go through the fourth degree kind of track. I was the patriotic programs chairman. Then I became the secretary to the master. And then in 2016, I became the master of the fourth degree for the Archdiocese of Washington District. Toward the middle of my second tour, it opened up where the vice supreme master was changing folks and, you know, a new selection. So I said, I'm going to try to go for that. And with the support of all the other former vice supreme masters here in the Calvert province, I was fortunate to be selected and became vice supreme master in September 2019. And I will give up that position after two terms at the end of August this year.
So it's for those who we didn't mention it at the beginning that you are, but you're in Maryland.
Yes, I live in Maryland. Yes.
Okay, okay.
But the Archdiocese of Washington, it covers D.C. and five counties in Maryland. And so I live in one of those. Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, well, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show, it's quite fitting, clearly, because this is our patriotic edition of the show. Back in the day, quick history, count my old home council years ago, we used to have a fundraiser every year, and we used to have what we called the Lourdes Ball. And so what we would do is we would have a black tie dinner and a silent auction and a beautiful catered meal and all that. The purpose being to raise money to send a candidate to Lourdes along with with their caregiver. And that's what has brought you and I together here this afternoon, is that you and Lady Patty are heavily involved in the Warrior to Lourdes program. First off, some people may have heard of the program, some may have not. So if you could give a little background, and then we can get into what your involvement is.
Yeah, the Warriors to Lourdes program, from what I'm being told, I've not participated the entire time, but started in about 2013, sponsored in a great portion by the Knights of Columbus in conjunction with the Archdiocese for the Military Services, USA. So they started then, and so it's sponsored by those folks. And then what they look for is to take non-wounded, wounded physically, mentally, or morally, ill or injured U.S. military personnel to travel from here in the United States and Europe to the Shrine of Our Lady of Lourdes in France. There they participate in an international military pilgrimage over the weekend portion of our 6-day event, and then in some other events for our, you know, our own U.S. Pilgrimage as well. And it includes an opening ceremony during that international military pilgrimage, special masses, visits to a famous healing bath, the famous healing baths, I should say, at Lourdes, a unified sports challenge, and a candlelight vigil that draws tens of thousands annually.
I'm very close with a candidate who went numerous years ago. He and his wife went. He was a member, actually, he was a member of my council at the time. So people have heard a lot about the program. How did you and your wife get involved, and what kind of role do you play?
Yeah, I back about probably was 2017 in the summer or fall, talking with Colonel Chuck Galena, who is has been for many years, for the entire time, just about the what do they call him, the U.S. head of delegation for Warriors to Lourdes, and by being such, he's also the coordinator for Warriors to Lourdes every year. And he asked me to become a trip leader. What's a trip leader? Well, when we go on this pilgrimage from the United States, we go out of various airports. So we have trip leaders at each airport who kind of shepherd that part of the delegation to Lourdes through all the events and then back again. So I became a trip leader out of Dulles Airport here west of D.C. Patty went the first year as a volunteer, which means she paid her way. And then after that, she was picked up also by Chuck to be a trip leader. And so ever since then, we've been trip leaders together. So we went in 2018. We went a second time in 2019. And then COVID hit. But we continued to plan, just in case we were able to go, for the 2020 and 2021 trips. But it turned out they were canceled. But they did not, quote, cancel the international military pilgrimage, but they slid it, you know, so it would be the next numbered international military pilgrimage when we got to go back. So we went back in 2022 and then again this year in 2023 with a few changes there, I think, due to COVID. But maybe I would argue some of them are changes for the better at any rate.
So now then, are you partnered with a participant, or do you get to choose, or?
Yeah, so when we go, we have anywhere. The other years we had about 45 pilgrims that went out of Dulles. That includes, like you said, the wounded, their caregivers, and maybe some volunteers who decided they wanted to go and help and were picked. Because there's a selection process. The application opens. It's an easy website to remember. WarriorsToLourdes.com opens up September 15th and then closes January 15th. And then they have a selection board the end of January to pick all of the ill and injured that will go, the caregivers, the volunteers. So that's how really you get to go. So from Dulles, we've had 45 most of the years. This year we had, I think it was 51. So we had a little bit bigger group. And we may pair up with the people that are more seriously injured. Like I was with a gent who had, who I knew personally, but had a lot of trouble walking. So we made sure of all his needs as we went, Patty and I, with him and his wife. And then, you know, we help out all the others as we can also that are in that.
Clearly, is there is some sort of criteria that a pilgrim has
yeah,
to meet
yeah.
in order to eligibility. That's the word I was looking
yeah.
for.
And it's on the website. And I just printed the trifold from last year here today. But it says eligibility. It says applicants should be spiritually motivated to participate as a pilgrim, and they must be active duty, recently retired or separated U.S. military personnel, post 9/11 era, they're saying here. Warrior companions, pre-9/11 veterans, and non-military affiliated volunteers are also eligible to apply. Wounded, ill, or injured warriors must be able to fully perform activities of daily living, either alone or with the assistance of a VA-approved designated caregiver. Applicants and their clinical providers should not anticipate that professional medical or nursing services, including hospitalization, will be delivered during the pilgrimage. Well, that said, but we have a heck of a medical team that does go with us and tries to coordinate for any eventuality. But we start out that way. You know, they must be able to take care of themselves and basic needs. Yeah.
How long is the excursion? Is this like a week long thing?
It's a six day event when we go. This year we went on 9 May and returned on that following Monday. What's that? 9 and 6 is whatever. But so the 15th we came back, I believe. But and we go Tuesday. We travel, so everybody gets there Wednesday. We'll start out with usually we get in there late in the afternoon because we'll have to go to most of us went through either Charles de Gaulle in France, or we went through Amsterdam airport, some of us, then down to Toulouse, and then we bus ride it into Lourdes, and then we get a meal, or we go to Faith and Fellowship, you know, talk a little bit, to have a little bit of a meeting there and talk about usually one of the archdiocese for the military services chaplains will give us a presentation, and then we'll break into groups and, you know, have a discussion kind of thing. Really beneficial to most of them.
So now for the pilgrims, is their whole cost covered, or do they end up having to outlay any cash?
No, if they are approved in that selection process, their cost is covered. And it costs all the meals we get at the hotel that we stay in while we're there, and the flights are in blocks, so, you know, they get a good deal price on that. Best deal we can get, I guess, these days. But it's basically, if you're double occupancy, it's $2,600 for the trip, $2,900 if you're single occupancy. There's some cases that way, but most are double occupancy. And so when we ask, you know, people to donate, and that, again, is on that warriorstolords.com website, how to do that. We're looking for, yeah, that $2,600 per person is what we try to put together. But any donations are certainly appreciated to help with the cause.
Yeah. Sure. You said they hit a little rough spot during COVID, et cetera. And now that the planet seems to be on the other side of at least the epidemic side of it. What do you as a participant see the future of the program? Is it the participation good? I mean,
yeah, participation was the highest it's been this year for us in the U.S. Last year, in the past, we've probably had for that international military pilgrimage worldwide, 16,000 military there for that weekend. Last year, it was about half of that. This year, it came back some again. I think we probably had 14,000 this year. So from all different countries, it's great, you know.
Sure. Is it specifically Catholic?
Non-Catholics are certainly welcome to go, because we not only bring Catholic priests, but we bring other denominations as well. We've had rabbis, you know, and Protestant chaplains. So, you know, you name it. So we try to cover everybody, and we try to tailor the events so that it takes care of everybody also. Yeah.
Sure.
The big thing that I think that I said some things changed. The biggest thing that changed was when we go to the baths there at Lourdes and the healing water, right? So we used to go in and they had these carved out in rock, I guess. And I don't know if it's marble or what it is, but they're kind of like trough tubs. And you go in there, you go down some steps and you sit down in the water just about immersed, you know, to your neck, that kind of thing. And then you get back out. Well, they stopped doing that after COVID, and they're doing it more like the way Saint Bernadette did it when she discovered the stream there with the Blessed Mother. So you go in there, and you can only go men together and women together. Well, now we can go as couples or families in, and you stay, you don't disrobe to get in the water, but you stand there near that water. There's a statue of Mary. A few prayers are said. They pour water in your hands, you know, and you can put the water on your face, much again, like she did. Second time, you drink some of the water, that kind of thing. But anyway, there's two or three routines there. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you say another prayer and you exit. But, you know, when she discovered the stream, that's basically what she was doing. So I think, to me, that's more the way, you know, history has shown that we deal with that healing water.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Have you seen the healing, can I ask? Have you seen?
I haven't seen any. I've seen on the news that there was news not a year or two ago about a 70th person being healed by those waters that they have on record. You know, nothing. It was a miracle because nothing else could explain what happened, you know, to this person. Now, my friend, I said, Patty and I helped. I've seen him since. And he says, I'm walking a lot better. And, you know, he's not totally better, sure. But he said he's a lot better. So, you know, people may or may not be healed there, but they certainly do get some peace, comfort, that kind of thing by going. It is an amazing place.
I was going to say, I would imagine just being in the presence of the presence, I guess is the only way that I can put it is
we'll have mass in the grotto, you know, where the Blessed Mother appeared to Bernadette. They have a statue in the position where she appeared to Bernadette, that kind of thing. And on the other side of the river that flows through there, there's another statue of Bernadette, you know, like kneeling there with the vision of the Blessed Mother, those kinds of things. So it's really, it's very impactful to at least to a lot of us, for sure.
Well, I know it's on my wife's and my bucket list. I mean, we've always been fans of the story, but no, it's really has always been a very intriguing, kind of story, and clearly something that that we would like to investigate further.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, so if there are any knights listening, or their families, or knights, or councils, or assemblies, what can they do to get involved and support the program?
I think the biggest thing is to donate if they can. You know, any amount is great for donating. I mentioned some of the costs, and it's in the brochure there. As far as donating, it is on the website. I'm trying to find that I've got a little bit about that here too.
I mean, on the council level or the assembly level, I mean, they could hold fundraisers, right?
Yeah, definitely.
The knights are famous. We're famous for our fish fries. So you know, fish fries, spaghetti dinners, or. Yeah.
And we've certainly had groups that try to raise the amount for send a person, you know, to Lourdes, and that's really appreciated. But it is sent through Knights of Columbus Charities and, you know, marking it Warriors to Lourdes Pilgrimage Fund, that kind of thing. But that's all in the on the website as well, if you look for how to donate.
And I believe if you go to Supreme's website, there's also information there as well, if I'm not mistaken.
There may be a link there. Yeah.
Yeah. A link somewhere. Yeah.
I usually just, you know, I dial into warriorstolords.com, you know, and go straight there.
Well, you're connected now. See, that's that you're a bigwig. So, you know, Oh, it's Mike. Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You got two
Only
seats
a few
for
of them
it.
Know me. The staff knows me, I guess, for this event anyway.
you guys going back?
Yeah, we plan to go next year. We were as we were leaving Lourdes, the closing ceremony for the International Military Pilgrimage, they led us to believe that it was going to be in June next year. But then they came back and said, no, it's going to be in late May. So we'll be able to make it. We had a conflict otherwise. So we're going to go back for our fifth event unless they don't want us to. But I haven't heard that yet.
The one last thing, you talked about people getting down in the water. So you have actually been in the water.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So you're not just you're a participant as well as a helper.
Yes, we all participate in basically all of the events as we go through with the pilgrims.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, this is fascinating. And I think it's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you about it, because I'm sure people, have seen Song of Bernadette and they're familiar with the story.
Yeah.
And they've seen or read, read about her life or whatever the case may be. And I think it's just always firsthand accounts to me are those things that motivate people to get involved and motivate people to donate. And people always say, I talk to people, go, I feel guilty, asking for donations or whatever, but we want to keep these things going. So I don't.
And
they need to. Do they get any kind of funding from, clearly, I don't know if the French government or anybody funds them.
It's all donations.
It's all independent. Okay.
For this. Yeah. I think to me, the most impactful event, probably people are just awed by it, is the candlelight vigil that we have on Saturday night when we go there, where we all process through the grounds and end up in front of the Rosary Basilica, and all the candles are lit. We're going through all the mysteries of or decades of the Rosary and some of the mysteries. And it's really awesome.
I've seen video of it at night. Yeah. And it's just really, really awe inspiring. This has been just fascinating. And again, if people want more information about the trip itself, they can go to warriorstolourdes.com.
That's right. That's right. Yep.
All right. Well, safe travels, my friend. And
thank you. Same to you.
Give my best to Patty. And it's always great talking to you. And I hope we can do this again sometime.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right.
Thank you very much.
More Night Vision is coming up. Gentlemen, are you at least 18 years old and a practicing Catholic? Do you possess an overwhelming desire to serve your parish, family, and local community? Are you searching for a spiritually fulfilling, family-oriented experience? If so,
the Knights of Columbus wants you.
What began in a small church basement in New Haven, Connecticut, nearly 135 years ago by a young parish priest named Father Michael J. McGivney, has exploded into one of the world's most successful and well-known charitable organizations, the Knights of Columbus. Become part of a Catholic fraternal group that brings about change on a global scale. Immerse yourself in the rich history of the Knights and enjoy the benefits of membership. Provide for your family's future while you work together with Brother Knights to continue to build up Christ's church on earth. All we need is a few hours of your time and talent for a few hours each month. To learn more about how you can join the Knights of Columbus or for more details, contact your parish pastor or go to indianakfc.org.
The time is now.
Be one of the faithful, the honorable, the Knights of Columbus.
You are listening to Night Vision.
I had this one teacher. He was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher. Mr. Laswell was his name. Mr. Laswell. He says, He says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge. Dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O Glory, a symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there's respect. Because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United. That means that we have all come together. States. Individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose. And that's love for country. And to the Republic. Republic. A state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people. And it's from the people to the leaders. Not from the leaders to the people. For which it stands. One nation. One nation. Meaning so blessed by God. Indivisible. Incapable of being divided. With liberty, which is freedom. The right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation. And justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country. And two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer and that would be eliminated from schools too?
Night Vision is a presentation of the Indiana State Council of the Knights of Columbus and Catholic Radio Indy. Night Vision is produced by Z Media Studios in South Bend, Indiana.